New York Times bestselling author Anne Lamott had always wanted to be a grandmother, but with her son standing barely on the brink of 20, she wasn't quite ready for the experience. But as she writes in her new book, Some Assembly Required, Who Asked Me? The book is a journal of her son's first son. It is a very funny, searching, and moving memoir of the first year in the life of her grandson, which she has co-authored with her son, Sam Lamott. In 1993, Anne Lamott published Operating Instructions, her account of her first year with Sam, which quickly became an iconic new mother memoir. It was named one of the top 100 best English language nonfiction books of the 20th century by Modern Library. It's a great pleasure to welcome Anne Lamott back to the roundtable. A delight. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much.
So, I guess the obvious question is, have the operating instructions changed a bit for you?
That's a good question. It's much easier to be a grandmother, I'll tell you that. When I was 35 and had my child, Sam, I didn't know that most mothers were clueless. I thought everybody else was doing just fine, and they had owner's manuals, and that they almost always felt very maternal and darling and loving and, you know, very Louisa May Alcott. And it was just me that felt so crazy and exhausted. And it turned out that really everybody was in the same boat, and that once you started talking to other parents, oh, you were flooded with relief. It's much easier with a grandchild because the child leaves. So what I've had to learn to do with this round of birth is to let go, let go, let go. It's my son and Amy's child, and they get to raise them how they want, and that is not my strong suit. I have tiny, tiny, tiny control issues.
But obviously, your son is young, and this did come as a bit of a surprise.
It definitely did. His child is 2.5 now, so we've had time to get used to it. But I was stunned. Sam was a full-time art student, very gifted. And all of a sudden, he and Amy were pregnant and going to have the baby. And this was about 1 month pregnant. And Sam told me the day before Thanksgiving in 2008. And I couldn't even think of anything to say, which is kind of rare for me. He told me on the phone, and I just said, "Oh, Sam." And then after a while, I said, okay, and we agreed to talk later. Of course, after that, I called all my girlfriends and wailed and keened and gnashed my teeth and said, oh, my God, it's going to ruin his life. He's going to drop out of school. It's all hopeless. And then I remembered I believe in God, and I sort of got a bit of a grip. And pretty early on, I was ecstatic. I've always wanted to be a grandma.
Why do you think you've always had that want?
Well, the happiest people I know are grandparents. It's so hard to raise a child. If you haven't, you just really don't know what a mixed grill it is. It's lots and lots of joy and love, and it's also just so much stress and fear. And some of us tend to micromanage and want to live our child's hero's journey with him or her, or at least run beside them on the hero's journey with our clipboards. And it just doesn't work that way. You have to let go. You have to raise your child to leave you. And that's very painful. Whereas with the grandchild, I said in Some Assembly Required that you're kind of like a barnacle with a credit card.
Right.
Get to just glom on and just be loved beyond all imagining and love someone without the responsibility of making decisions about their education and their health, and then they leave. It's kind of ideal.
Is there more pressure on you as a grandparent? I shouldn't say pressure, I should say responsibility, because of the age of the parents, in the sense that they're still young, they're still trying to find their way. You want them to find that way. So does that give you more responsibility and ultimately more time with your grandchild?
The fact remains it's their child. And so what happens is I really try to release them to the care of their own higher powers, including Jack, but Amy and Sam for sure. And then I have to watch the fact that they are very young. And, you know, I don't even think your neocortex is fully formed till you're 25, and Sam's 22, Amy's 23. So it's not like a very seasoned, it's not like two seasoned people in an established relationship with careers that they're in the middle of or that lay ahead. So it's hard. It's definitely a very difficult thing to have a child so young. But as I said, who asked me? And I just keep working on trying not to control or manage or mother and martyr and manipulate, and just to really release them. And I pray a lot, I have to say. Maybe I pray more.
So what is their situation? So if they're going to school and they're pursuing their career, do they come to grandma for help in the sense of can you watch the baby for a while?
Well, they both love being with the baby, so my struggle is to wrestle him out of their cold, dead hands, as Carlton Heston said about his rifles. But, no, I mean, I'm just always trying to get the baby. But Sam is took a semester off, so he's been around. He's going back to school, and Amy already has her cosmetology license. So I would love to just quit my whole life. I don't really feel that I need to write a lot more. This is my 13th book, and what I'd like to do is just hang out with Jax and play with the little briar horses that we get at eBay. But no one asked me. They seem to have their lives that include being with Jax as much as possible also.
Was it your intention initially in this book, Some Assembly Required, to have your son have his say as well, to include him in the writing process?
Well, you know, I loved... first of all, it's not my idea. I didn't want to do it or think it up. I was in the middle of something else, and my editor said, would you consider a sequel to Operating Instructions? And I said, well, I think it might be exploitive. And he said it wouldn't be exploitive if you didn't exploit anyone. And then, as you know from reading the preface, I pitched it to Sam, and he was ecstatic because Operating Instructions has just meant so much to him. I mean, I was sort of startled to find out how what a pure experience of communication from my heart to his heart he finds it to be. And he says in the preface, I wanted Jax to have this too, to have one of his own. So then we were off and running, i.e., I was off and running because I've been getting my work done every day since I was about 20 as a writer. I'll be 58 soon. And he had a great enthusiasm, but he also had... You know, he was in school, he had a baby, and it was sort of back like in the teenage years where I would have to resort to the most important tools in the parents' toolbox of, you know, nagging and bribes and threats. But he would always come through with this heartbreaking material and sometimes hilarious material. He wrote some of the funniest stuff in it.
Did that ever color what it is that you wrote later on, in the sense of it gave you a new perspective, perhaps?
Well, it gave me a really deep appreciation for what is inside my son. He's always had depth, and he's always been very sensitive, which, as you know from the book, he hates.
Right.
And his father, he says, I got double whammed because my mom is this way and my dad is this way. So he hated being sensitive and wanted to be a hip, slick, and cool American guy with thick skin, and he didn't get that. And I've always loved that. And he's always said this strangely spiritual, trippy stuff, and I've gotten it down. I got it in Traveling Mercies and Bird by Bird and really everything Plan B. And but this was the first real musings of a grown-up, and that really changed my perspective. He's really a man, and he's tall. He's unbelievably handsome. And he will roll his eyes at me, as grown children are wont to do. But he is very thoughtful. And I said in the book that having a son broke his turtle shell like he broke mine. And it kind of means you don't draw a lot more complacent breaths after you have a child, because you're always thinking about him and pulling for him and, you know, worrying about him and wanting to help them have a life that is not as difficult as maybe yours were, and A, good luck, and B, it's just, as Vonnegut said, welcome to the monkey house. You know, parents are parents are parents, and so I watched his turtle shell be broken, and for his best defense against feeling too much be thrown out the window, really the second he saw Jax, it's over. You're just doomed because you love these babies so passionately. But that kind of doomed is good. It just means that you don't have nearly as much armor on. And if you've tried to be armored and defended, it's not great. But if you're here because you're tired of pressing the snooze alarm and you want to have an awakening and be fully present, then, boy, to see the your newborn's eyes for the first time is going to do it.
And going back to your earlier work, it seems that obviously you have to think about what kind of world Jax is entering.
Yeah. But, you know, I had to think about what kind of world Sam was entering, too. And if I'd had Sam in the 20s, I'd have to have thought about what kind of world Sam was, a baby was entering after the tragedy and massacres of World War I and no antibiotics. And before that, I would have had to worry about the saber-toothed tigers. So it's never been a safe place to have babies, to either be very, very young or to be very, very old. And it's just the reality of our human lives. It's hard here. It's hard and it's dangerous and terrible things happen to beautiful people. And it's like, boy, you better have a community. You better have a few people in your pit crew.
And you're honored to be a part of the pit crew.
Oh, it's literally what heaven is like to me. It's what heaven will be like with endless desserts. Will be to be with these people that love you no matter what, and whom you love no matter what, no matter what you find out about each other, and who will remember the word sacrifice. I might be older than you, but in my childhood, people use the word sacrifice, that you got out of yourself to become people for others, and now it's not a word you hear very much, but yeah, heaven will be those people for who sacrifice so much to help bring you along.
The name of the book is Some Assembly Required, A Journal of My Son's First Son. It is by Anne Lamott with Sam Lamott. And, of course, Anne is the author of Operating Instructions. It is published by Riverhead. Anne Lamott, it's always a thrill to have you on the program. I thank you so much. I wish you all the luck in the world with the book and many wonderful times with your son and grandson.
Thank you so much for having me on this show. I really enjoyed it.
A great pleasure.
Have a great day.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
And to you. Anne Lamott is the author of Some Assembly Required, A Journal of My Son's First Son. It is published by Riverhead. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.